Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy
in a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
Mike McCarthy to the Bears. Absolutely love it. Well, it's not done yet. Welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. We're in the very beginning stages here, Pearl, but the news came down yesterday from ESPN that the Bears have requested an interview with Mike McCarthy. We maybe heard some snippets about this over the holiday break, but I love it, and I think that it's great for both parties. I don't think Cowboy fans are really in love with McCarthy right now. I don't know if McCarthy is exactly what this team needs because he's had 4 years with Dallas, and they haven't won a, I don't say meaningful playoff game. They sent Tom Brady into retirement, so I guess that's something. But they haven't gotten to the NFC Championship game. And I think the Bears is the perfect landing spot for McCarthy. Young quarterback. Mike McCarthy can develop young quarterbacks. They need such a toe-up, ground-up, glow-up. If you're the Bears, Mike McCarthy can come in. He can get that program going in the right track.
Really, I feel like this is a, it's not just a retread. It's, what's a double retread? It's a retread tread. I mean, is there any excitement bringing Mike McCarthy? And I can't believe you're so excited about this. It feels like, okay, we got Mike McCarthy. Maybe he'll make Caleb Williams adequate. Is that the goal? The other thing is, at the end of the day, you can bring in Mike McCarthy. You're still the Bears. I worry that the problems are much bigger than coach. And even as dysfunctional as Dallas is, at least they have a history of being a playoff team. You still have a lot of problems in Chicago, and I'm not sure Mike McCarthy is the answer to this strange structure with GM Ryan Poles and team president Kevin Warren, and who knows what's going on in ownership. I just keep coming back to this same thing with all these situations. Bad owners have bad teams, and I don't know if Mike McCarthy is going to answer any of that. I want somebody more dynamic than Mike McCarthy. I'm sorry. Is that too much to ask for?
Well, to your point, though, if it's bad ownership in Chicago, or it's going to be a meddling team president and Kevin Warren, or a GM that you're not sure is all that good at his job, whatever it's going to be. Listen, Mike McCarthy, this is like working backwards. He's been with Jerry. Everything else is going to feel like JV. If you're dealing with owners or complicated buildings or power structures or what have you, this is like working backwards in Mike Tyson's Punch-Out. He's already been to Mike Tyson. It's the end. He's already seen the biggest, the toughest situation you can deal with in terms of meddling, getting involved. Now it's like working back. Now you can handle Glass Joe. That's what the Bears would be to Mike McCarthy. You know, and here's the thing. I don't think that it would be making Caleb Williams adequate. I think that's unfair to McCarthy, quite frankly. I think Mike McCarthy was very integral in Aaron Rodgers' development. I think he has, I think he has shown that he can develop younger quarterbacks and do a good job. I don't think it would be, you're not shortchanging Caleb Williams, in my opinion, by giving him Mike McCarthy. You can do a whole lot worse. And it doesn't have to be like the innovative play caller, although I don't think Mike McCarthy's, I don't love his play calling. It doesn't have to be this cutting edge, you know, Dan Campbell go for it on every fourth down that develops Caleb Williams. He needs like starting from square one, and McCarthy can do that and do that very well.
Well, okay, so if he's not this great play caller, then what is it that he's doing that's so, you know, cutting edge about developing quarterback?
Well,
I don't understand.
I think that you could ask Aaron Rodgers, and did Mike McCarthy help Aaron Rodgers? And who does Caleb Williams say is his number one absolute favorite quarterback of all time is Aaron Rodgers. And you've got the guy who was there from the ground up with Rodgers.
Yeah, I mean, he happened to be there when Rodgers ascended. I'm not sure I'm giving Mike McCarthy full credit for Aaron Rodgers. It's not like, is that Andy Reid? You're describing him like he is like the quarterback whisperer, and I'm not sure that's the case.
Dak Prescott, MVP candidate with Mike McCarthy.
He didn't develop Dak Prescott.
No, he didn't develop Dak Prescott.
Had many Pro Bowls before McCarthy got there.
But no MVPs.
And I don't agree with you that Dallas' structure is so complicated. Like, everyone knows the deal. Like, Jerry and Steven run the show, and Will McClay makes the picks. And, like, it's, I'm not sure that this Chicago thing is a lot simpler than Dallas. Dallas, you know exactly what's going on. Dallas has all sorts of good players. I honestly, like, think about the NFC North. If Mike McCarthy comes in this position, no one's going to be like, oh, man, like, watch out for the Bears. They're going to be like this irrelevant, like, ooh, the Bears might, you know, they might go 9-8 one year. They might be a little troublesome. Like, they're not challenging those other three, like, teams with the young, great quarterbacks. It's just not happening with Mike McCarthy. Like, yeah, they are not scary to me at all.
I disagree. This Bears team, and again, the news is that they've requested to interview Mike McCarthy. Now, the reason why we're in this predicament in the first place is because Mike McCarthy is operating right now without a contract. So Jerry has yet to make a decision. Manny, can we hear the soundbite from Jerry Jones after the Cowboys season officially ended on Sunday with that loss to the Commanders? He says he's got all the information to make a decision. He's just not making it yet.
Have you made up your mind on Mike McCarthy?
No. Well, the point is that all that I'm going to look at that I was asked, I was answering that question, and that was, does the outcome of this game really impact his future? And I said, no. All of the things I'll consider pays in the ball.
Okay, so make a decision. You know, I don't understand if the hay's in the barn and you've got all the data you need, which, by the way, I like this. It should never come down to one game.
Yeah,
when a guy's been in your building for 4 years. But what's the holdup? Now, it's Tuesday. It's not like it's a week from now. But you have this sort of exclusive negotiating period. They hold Mike McCarthy's exclusive rights, if you will, until January 14th. Mm-hmm. So unless Jerry Jones blesses the ability for Mike McCarthy to interview with the Bears, he cannot do so until he becomes an actual full-on free agent, and that's a week from today.
Yeah, and I don't think that the Bears need to hire somebody by January 14th. They can easily wait. But I mean, I would like to hear from Cowboys fans. Of course you want Mike McCarthy gone. Of course you want somebody new, right? Like, is any Cowboy fan saying, please keep McCarthy? So that'd be good for the Cowboys if McCarthy left. And it's nothing against McCarthy. Like, that message has gone stale.
Yeah.
You said, like, you'd be excited for him. Like, picture last year in the playoffs, they're 12-5. Matt LaFleur brings a Packers team in there. They blow the doors off the Cowboys. I feel like it's ironic, like somehow McCarthy's energy, like McCarthy's stock has gone up after this season. Like last year, everyone was down on McCarthy, and now McCarthy's the answer to a new team. I can't believe like he's going to get another job. They were not good this year.
Okay.
They were, and I understand Dak was hurt. They weren't good when Dak was there. Like, and they're going to be even worse next year if McCarthy stays. Like, this is not the answer. Like, you need Sean McVay. You need Kyle Shanahan. You need a guy to come in there and just rip it up and start anew and really build something.
Okay, you're talking about from the Cowboys' perspective.
No, I'm talking about the Cowboys and the Bears.
Okay, but
same dynamic.
No, not same dynamic. Totally different dynamic. The Cowboys are multiple 12 games a year winning team who goes to the playoffs, and it's no doubt that the one and only goal is Super Bowl. The Chicago Bears have not won a playoff game since 2010. They've only made the playoffs twice since 2010. Guys, it's 2025. It's not the same. You don't have the same ultimate goal to win a Super Bowl. Yeah, sure. But with Caleb Williams going into his second year, that's false. It's not the same. The Cowboys, it's Super Bowl or bust. The Bears, there's a lot of levels we got to get to before Super Bowl even becomes in the potential outlook. You've got to make sure Caleb Williams doesn't turn into a bust. You've got to make sure this organization is not a laughingstock. There's so many baby steps that have to happen for Chicago that Dallas is already, they're already further along. This is why Mike McCarthy makes sense in Chicago. He would be one of the most accomplished Bears head coaches that they've had in years. In years.
I mean,
he's coming in after Eberflus. This is not a tough act to follow.
They have two-time coaches. Didn't Nagy win Coach of the Year there?
And that is stupid.
Well, not really.
And sometimes the voters get it wrong.
I thought Nagy did a nice job there. Here's the thing. You're describing baby steps. Like the NFL, like you go from laughingstock to Super Bowl team all the time. And you have 5 years with Caleb Williams, or maybe even four with cause certainty. Like, you gotta get to the Super Bowl in that window. Otherwise, the number one overall pick, the generational guy, is a failure. I don't see it like baby steps. Look at the Lions. Did they have baby steps? Look at the Rams when they got McVay. Did they have baby steps? Look at the Niners when they got Shanahan off the Tom Sula era or whatever the last coach was. There's no baby steps in the NFL. Like, you don't have time to do that. You gotta hit the road, just going full speed. And you have to take advantage of Caleb Williams on this rookie deal. Like, you can't just do baby steps to respectability and then fire McCarthy. What's the point of that?
See, I think that's looking a little too short-sighted. That's the pie in the sky is that, yeah, you get to a Super Bowl when your quarterback's on a cheap deal. But how many times does that actually happen?
I think there's been a rookie quarterback in the Super Bowl like 85% of the time this decade.
It can't be rookie quarterback. There's literally never been a rookie quarterback.
But I think almost every Super Bowl, except for like two or three, have not had one of the quarterbacks on a rookie contract.
Okay, and then what happens the moment after that person gets to that big game? You're paying him anyway. So you have to, if you're looking at Caleb Williams, it doesn't matter if you pay him now, if you pay him 3 years from now, 4 years from now. The whole thing is he's got to pan out. And you, this has got to be your quarterback. You're hoping for the next decade at least, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if he turns out to be Josh Allen or Lamar Jackson, guys who have not gone to the Super Bowl when they were on cheap deals, all of a sudden it's a failure? Absolutely not. You got to keep the long-term goal here with Caleb Williams. You can't just be trying to put this thing on fast forward. You got to actually take the time to develop this dude.
I don't see it that way. How old is Caleb Williams? Is he 22 now? Like, You better make it work fast. So let me ask you this, though.
Yeah.
Would you rather have Ben Johnson or Mike McCarthy?
Mike McCarthy. Ben Johnson has literally never called a coin flip.
Who cares? Like, so nobody who's a great coach called a coin flip before their first job. You got to give this guy his first job. This will be McCarthy's third job. How many coaches have won a Super Bowl on their third job? Okay. I have no doubt on that.
Okay. So they tried this, Bears fans. Mark Trestman, you did this with Nagy. You did this with Eberflus. You brought in unproven coordinators, and what happened? You're finding a new guy.
Yeah, but so what's the difference? I mean, Andy Reid was an unproven quarterback coach that the Eagles hired, and they went to five NFC title games.
You realize, like, you might be talking about one of the greatest coaches of all time
obviously.
Andy Reid's going to have the record of the most wins ever. Like, you can't hold everybody to the standard of Andy Reid, Sean McVay. There's two of those guys.
Obviously, every great coach has a first job. That's my point. And, you know, I think you're more likely to hit gold with a first-timer than a retread. I think it's, I don't have data. I know Belichick was technically a retread, but that was a unique case too, because Cleveland was basically moving out of the city and they had all sorts of ownership problems. I'll bet you Belichick, if he stayed in Cleveland, probably could have won. I think generally, like, if I'm an owner, I want somebody to come in with, I want Ben Johnson. I want the next Sean McVay. I want the next Kyle Shanahan. I want the next 1998 Andy Reid. That's who I want in my building. Yeah, I actually might want Mike McCarthy in 2008. I don't want Mike McCarthy now. I'm having trouble. This idea that the Bears just have to get okay, too, it feels like you're selling them short a little bit.
I never said okay. I said that Caleb Williams has to develop and Mike McCarthy can do that. And the goal for Dallas is always Super Bowl or bust, Super Bowl or bust. For the Bears, who have made two playoff appearances in the last 15 years, it's not Super Bowl or bust, and that'd be silly to even say it. You're delusional if you're thinking that. You got to...
Well, were the Lions delusional when they hired Dan Campbell?
Okay, so here's the thing about the Lions, right? And I get it that Ben Johnson is the offensive coordinator, and he's the hot name right now. But he also inherited a quarterback in Jared Goff, who had already been through a lot of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Jared Goff had been to a Super Bowl. He had been discarded by his team. He already had a lot of institutional knowledge of the league. It's a very different assignment to be coaching Caleb Williams, who has one, like, mediocre, weird season under his belt. You're taking on a very different kind of guy. Jared Goff didn't need to be developed necessarily.
Jared Goff was basically not going to get a starting job in the NFL. He was a journeyman by the time he got there. Those last two seasons in LA were bad. Bad. Like, no other team in the league was even having Jared Goff starting. It's not like he inherited some great quarterback.
I'm not saying that, but he did have McVay for 4 years, right? So he was...
Right, well, and he got worse and worse and worse.
Well, I don't know if he got worse and worse and worse. I think a lot of things change. I think that getting to the Super Bowl, losing in the way that they did, I think that was really hard for both McVay and and probably Goff. And then they paid him, and then it becomes a little harder to build your roster, obviously, when you pay Jared Goff all that money.
But what are you talking about? Stafford came right in and won like crazy.
And Stafford already was in the league for 8 years at that point. And Stafford, quite frankly, was just better than Jared Goff. And Stafford still probably will go down still as a better quarterback as Jared Goff. They just upgraded.
But I'm just saying, you can't say that Ben Johnson won because of Jared Goff. Like, and, you know, that staff fixed Jared Goff.
I'm just saying Jared Goff was in a very different place than what Caleb Williams. It's a different assignment for a head coach.
Yeah, I would definitely want Ben Johnson. And I know maybe it's like an NBA draft thing. Like, the unknown is way more attractive to me.
Well, always. Door number three, right?
It's
number one.
Not job number three. Not head coaching job number three. Like, I'm just picturing, like, that show where the three bachelors line up.
Yeah.
Like, you give me handsome Ben Johnson, former backup to T.J. Yates at North Carolina, and you give me Mike McCarthy. I'm sorry. I'm going with a young, attractive guy. Does that sound weird? Yeah, that probably sounds pretty weird. Man, he's looking at me a little funny.
I want Mike McCarthy right now. Give me this comfortable pair of slippers. I know exactly what I'm getting. I know he knows what to do. And this is a tough one. And I'm not sure if Ben Johnson, like, again, this is a peculiar situation with the Bears. We've talked about it, right? Peculiar situation. Team president has a lot of power. General manager, we're not really sure. They have a tendency, ownership does, to not have a GM and a coach always on the same timeline. They'll draft a quarterback, then bring in a new head coach and GM who didn't draft that quarterback. They've repeated the same mistake time after time, going back to Jay Cutler. It's just, they didn't draft Jay Cutler, but you know what I mean. It's a very odd place. And Mike McCarthy, and I read this in The Athletic, so I appreciate them for pointing this out. Mike McCarthy, who's won 11 playoff games in his career, the Bears have won 11 playoff games since 1963.
Yeah, but
they should not turn their nose up at Mike McCarthy.
How many has he won in Dallas? One, right?
Well, I mean, and that
was against a 8-9 Bucks team that was done.
Listen, they sent Tom Brady straight to the booth.
Get out of here. That meant nothing. The other thing, too, is how has McCarthy done in Dallas since Dan Quinn left? Not good.
Well,
you say comfortable in slippers. Is that what he wears when he gets the back massage in his private office? I just feel like, come on, McCarthy. He's got to take a couple years off and watch film of all the games like he lied about last time. There's nothing. If they could get Ben Johnson and they take Mike McCarthy, I think that's a risky move, because I know you're not as into Ben Johnson as I am, but there's a good chance he goes somewhere and wins.
Why is Ben Johnson? Why is he not Matt Nagy?
Because Matt Nagy's read called plays. And because you watch the Lions and, like, you have no idea what's coming on a play to play basis. Like, Nagy it's really hard. Who's Ben Johnson's Andy Reid?
Well, I have a question. Is the whole offensive line, where three of those guys are going to the Hall of Fame, coming with Ben Johnson?
Why do you keep saying that? There's no three Hall of Famers with the Lions. Ragnow and
you don't think Penei Sewell is on?
Penei Sewell is amazing. But then,
they're one of the best.
What were those guys
lines
before Ben Johnson got there?
High draft picks and good signings. You say it yourself that the general manager of the Detroit Lions is on one of the all-time heaters. I would love to see, without the offensive line, without Amon-Ra St. Brown, without Sam LaPorta.
Second-round pick.
Okay, but these guys are awesome.
Yeah, but I actually like LaPorta, for example. Like,
they
LaPorta
got Keenan
awesome
Allen over there in Chicago. You ripped signing to the high heavens.
And oh my God, was I right about that? He needs to leave the building immediately. Like, Keenan Allen, like, his energy is so done there. Anyway, I think that the Bears really they do great to get Ben Johnson, especially with Caleb Williams. The thing that I love about the Lions is their run game is so dynamic.
Right.
And the Bears just don't have that. They need to really make life easy for Caleb Williams. And maybe McCarthy can do that, but I'm picturing Dallas. I just don't know that that's going to work. I feel like the upside is again, 9-8 there. And you have Caleb Williams. You might as well shoot for the stars. I think I'd bring in Ben Johnson, because you're in a horrible division. Like, you got LaFleur sitting there. You got Dan Campbell sitting there. And who's the other coach? And you got Kevin O'Connell, who doesn't want to leave Minnesota. You really better bring some firepower.
855-212-4227. All right, we get it started with the news that Mike McCarthy, there's been a request to interview him by the Chicago Bears. And to me, win-win. Cowboy fans definitely are done with McCarthy, and I think he could do great work in Chicago. Perloff doesn't see it the same way. He thinks they should go for door number three, the unknown of Ben Johnson.
Yeah, the unknown. First-time hire. Just the, by 10 miles, hottest name out there who's going to get twice the money of Mike McCarthy because the demand is out of control. Because if you turn on the Lions game, it's just like, whoa, who's running that offense? Give me that guy.
Yeah, I feel like I've been there, done that with a lot of hottest guys out there and a lot of hot candidates.
Well, you said like
and
Matt Nagy. Matt Nagy had never called a play in his life until he got the Chicago job. So I don't, yeah, and a lot of times they're awesome.
Well, 855-212-4227. Is Mike McDaniel awesome? Because he was the hot guy.
Yeah, he's an awesome play caller. He's a really good play caller.
You said the Miami Dolphins have no future.
No.
Come on.
Yeah, but nobody could say that Mike McDaniel doesn't know how to call a fun play. Like, that guy is definitely a good offensive play caller.
Calling a fun play, and where are they sitting right now? Home. And maybe it's because of Tua,
by the way,
but maybe not.
Ben Johnson is way, way hotter than Mike McDaniel was. Like, they're not even the same conversation. Like, I was surprised by Mike McDaniel. Like, that kind of came a little bit out of nowhere. It wasn't like 10 teams were like, give me that guy.
855-212-4227. Okay, lots to do. We get started with the news about McCarthy. Should he interview for the Chicago job, and would this solve a lot of problems on both sides? Meanwhile, Chicago still wants to interview Ben Johnson, so it's not like it's McCarthy's job to have. They are going to put together a lot of different interviews. We got plenty of updates on the coaching cycle, and of course, we got college football playoff semifinals games coming up in 2 days. Is everyone ready for this? Notre Dame, Penn State, Manny's ready. He's got his Penn State sweatshirt on. That's Thursday. It's Tuesday already. It's basically here. Maggie and Perloff, 855-212-4227. What's best? Should the Cowboys keep McCarthy or should he interview with the Bears? Let's go.
I'm going with a young, attractive guy. Welcome back, Maggie and Perloff show. You know, it's kind of curious, Maggie. We have not heard anything about the Cowboys having any interest in anyone except Mike McCarthy. I've been following the coaching carousel this week. There aren't a lot of names linked there. I mean, like, even the traditional ones, like, you know, that Jerry Jones wants to hire Lincoln Riley at some point, or maybe like a Cliff Kingsbury feels like a Cowboys
Kellen
hire.
Kellen Moore always felt like
Kellen
coming
Moore,
back.
Right. But I haven't heard a lot about that. I've wondered, why is Ben Johnson not on Jerry Jones's radar? It does feel like he doesn't want too much shine in that head coaching position. I don't even think, I mean, Vrabel would have made a lot of sense there too. And it doesn't feel like he's shown any interest there. So at a certain point, like, maybe he's just going to be stuck with Mike McCarthy and it's not going to matter.
Well, maybe he actually likes McCarthy. I mean, there's that part too, but it's weird because then why not give him a vote of confidence? Why not give him a contract extension? You know, why even let him linger out there even for this 24, 48 hour period? If you really like the guy and you've made your decision based on everything you've seen, like, what's the holdup?
Well, it's just so weird to me too. Last year, after they lost to the Packers, there seemed to be an ultimatum, like, you better win in the playoffs or you're gone. And now he's 7-10 this year. I know Dak was hurt, but
And Michael Parsons was hurt for most of the year.
Yeah.
A lot of guys were hurt.
Yeah, when not most of the year, but when he wasn't himself till the second half, then he got really good. Yeah, that being said, you know, 7-10 is 7-10. They were not headed in the right direction.
Yeah, 855-212-4227. So we got the show going with Mike McCarthy because the news is that the Chicago Bears are asking the Cowboys if they can interview Mike McCarthy for their vacant head coaching spot. But because he's technically under contract for another week, I think technically the contract ends tomorrow, but they have him under contract until January 14th. Won't bog you down with the details there. It's really Jerry's decision whether or not he can interview, and he can let Mike McCarthy twist in the wind. Now, this also pushes Jerry a little bit because now you got another team that's sniffing around McCarthy, and we're all wondering, well, what's the holdup? Let's go to Kevin, who is in Texas, who's a big Cowboy fan. You don't want McCarthy or Prescott back, Kevin.
I don't care if McCarthy comes back or not. It's not going to matter because we have Prescott. Mm. It doesn't matter who the head coach is. We're not going to do anything as long as Prescott's under center. But the thing about it is, you know, this is just my opinion, but, you know, you got the story franchise of the Cowboys, and my opinion is, you know, within a couple of years, you're going to have a young legacy quarterback coming out of college from a storied NFL family.
Mm.
And you're going to have a marriage of those two, and that's going to include a couple of uncles. at least one uncle in the coaching staff. That's my prediction.
Kevin, you should be producing Sports Talk Radio. How you got Arch Manning into this conversation is brilliant. I wasn't even thinking about Arch. We thought about him for the New York Giants.
Yeah,
thank you,
Arch,
Kevin.
I mean, Kevin, Arch is already a Giant. They already printed the jersey.
How can we get Dion into this conversation? This is like a Sports Talk Radio bingo. But kudos to you. I mean, yeah, we'll see what happens with Arch. He's got to play a season of college football first, doesn't
they're
he?
Just too darn good to get Arch. That's the problem. By the way, I do find it kind of odd calling the quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys Prescott. Never sounds right. Mm. Prescott drops back. He's a Dak.
Yeah, I know. You have this thought about Russell Wilson, too. You can't just call him Wilson.
Every day. Yeah. Nobody calls Russell Wilson Wilson. Like, you could call. Nobody said Roethlisberger drops back. Big Ben drops back.
Well, that's just because Roethlisberger's kind of a mouthful.
Yeah. And Wilson, because there's a million people named Wilson. And
don't want to be confused with
Prescott.
Zach.
Prescott, because it doesn't roll off the tongue, but Dak is easy. Nobody said, Newton scrambles to the right. No, it's Cam.
Mm.
There's certain quarterbacks.
That's what you took from that call?
Nobody else found it odd that he kept saying Prescott?
Prescott is not as big an issue, because I feel like Joe Buck calls him Prescott a lot.
Yeah.
Prescott's also like a weird first name, too. Yeah, I don't know. It's unusual to me.
As a play-by-play kind of guy, I last names. Prescott drops back, Wilson drops back. It's the last name.
But if you were sitting in a bar, would you actually say, hey, do you think the Cowboys should keep Prescott?
Well,
you'd be like, what?
That's different. That's a fun talk.
Fine. Sorry.
No, I feel like more on like radio or like people are, you know, a hot take kind of show. Yes, I'll never hear someone just say Prescott. But I feel like I do hear announcers call him Prescott.
Which,
funny to me, though, is that Dak is one of those guys that he has not earned first name basis based on his play. It's purely because his name is so interesting.
Mm.
Yeah.
I don't like that. Like, to me, like Kobe, yes, he had an interesting name, but like also he was awesome. Like, I don't like the people who just get first name basis purely because it's just easier to say a first name. Yeah.
Dakota Rain drops back to pass.
There are also guys that you say both names. Like, Matt Ryan is neither Matt nor Ryan. He's Matt Ryan.
Yeah, it's usually one syllable.
Yeah. Aaron Rodgers is Aaron Rodgers. He's not really Rodgers or Aaron. Like, there's certain guys that you have to say both names.
Yeah, that's true. Even Woody Johnson called him Aaron Rodgers in an interview recently.
Yeah.
I'm like, don't you guys know each other, like, in a more familiar kind of way? I'm trying to think now. You got me.
Jalen Hurts is a double name, too. He's not Jalen or Hurts.
I think also because there's a million Jalens, too, as we know.
It is the most popular name. It's like, over Michael and Steven. Everyone's Jalen.
Thank you, Jalen Rose.
Of course. And he'll tell you that he is to thank. Has there been somebody who's got a single name who hasn't earned nickname status?
Ooh,
That's an interesting one.
Because their last name is too complicated, like Roethlisberger or something like that?
No, to EJ's point, like, he doesn't think that Dak has accomplished enough in his career to be Madonna.
Dak's been Dak since his rookie year.
Like, exactly.
He's, I hear what you're saying.
I think there are other guys that I got to think about it, but there are definitely athletes who... they're just first name basis, even though they definitely don't. Like, I mean, I think
Franz Wagner.
Franz. Well, no, I think Eli, before he won the titles, I think we only knew him as Eli. And it was like, he definitely didn't earn it before that championship.
Well, right, but you couldn't call him Manning for obvious reasons.
I mean, I guess, but we didn't run around just saying just Peyton. Like, people would definitely say Manning.
Yeah. But you could, for Eli was too late to the party. He couldn't be Manning. Manning was already taken by Peyton and former cornerback Ricky Manning.
Yes, that's what everyone says.
It's like, wait, Manning drops back. You mean Ricky Manning, the Carolina Panthers nickel cornerback?
Cap just brought up a good
safety?
One. Tua.
Tua.
Tua. Yeah. For obvious reasons, because there's too many syllables in his last name. Yep.
Yeah.
DJU.
How about Giannis before Giannis was Giannis, but he's earned it now. People just called him Greek Freak. I don't even know if people called him Giannis.
Yeah, he was another one, definitely.
But I think that was because the last name is a little challenging.
Yeah.
But we're good on it now.
I mean, Bo Nix, honestly, people call him Bo a lot.
No.
He's got to be, because his name is so short, it's got to be Bo Nix. He has the shortest, I think he's got the shortest name of any NFL player.
That's cool.
Him and Ty Law.
Ty Law was the other one. They did a whole thing on Amazon about it.
Yeah, that was like one of the stories of the year, how short Bo Nix's name was.
Yeah. It definitely not the teams that passed on him.
We're hitting the important stories today.
Yeah, of course.
J.R. Smith.
It's funny.
J.R.
I thought that Kevin actually made a really good point there, which is he's saying it doesn't matter if McCarthy's the head coach because Dak's never winning a title.
Yeah, that struck me as odd. I don't think I'm surprised that's the temperature in Dallas. I feel like I think most people would say, well, you're never winning a title because of Jerry Jones, not because of Dak Prescott.
Andrew Bogish is here with headlines. That's a full name, Andrew Bogish. Although we do call you Bogues.
Yeah, and I write myself as AB. Like
nobody calls me Andrew. Like,
no.
Nobody calls me Andrew. No one has ever called me Andrew.
No.
I was Pearl my whole life. Then I was McLovin on the Dan Patrick Show. And I'm some sort of like combo of different things here. And nobody calls you Andrew either.
No. No. Last name. I mean, that's a guy thing too, I feel like.
Yeah, except nobody calls EJ Stewart.
Well, because EJ, I think, requires the attention.
There you go. It's like I did that on purpose or something.
Headlines are sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Your small business keeps you on the go. Progressive Commercial Insurance keeps your policy within reach with our easy-to-use mobile app. Learn more at ProgressiveCommercial.com. From Carson Wentz to Easton Stick to Trey Lance to Cam Miller.
2:05 to go in the first quarter. Bison by 7. 3rd and 3. Own 36. Snap to Cam. Quarterback draw. And there he goes up the middle of 50. 45-40. 35-30. No one will catch him. He's inside the 10. Touchdown, Bison.
Ted Emrick on Westwood 1. North Dakota State QB Cam Miller running free for 64 yards and 6 points there. The Bison building a 21-3 halftime lead in Frisco, Texas last night before holding off top-seeded and previously unbeaten Montana State to win the FCS title 35-32. NDSU has now won 10 national titles, 4 more than anybody else, all of them in the last 14 years. Miller finishing with 199 yards and 2 scores passing, 121, and that tally on the ground.
That was the slowest touchdown run I've ever seen in my entire life. I saw the highlight. It took about 19 seconds for him to get to the end zone.
And it took 17 seconds for a defender to be in the screen with
him. I know. I know.
That
guy
was turn on the Jets. He had plenty of room.
That was crazy. That was like, remember when Daniel Jones, the Giants, broke free and there was no one near him? And he tripped over. That guy was running at a Daniel Jones speed.
That was the only hurdle was him staying on his feet.
Yeah, yeah.
Only and it looked like he could have ruined that.
He looked shaky. He definitely looked shaky. But
The NFL coaching carousel does not include Vikings head coach Kevin O'Connell. For now, Jay Glazer reported on Fox on Sunday that multiple teams want to trade for O'Connell.
Yeah, I'm not really interested in kind of, I guess I should say, addressing the rumors or speculation. What I can tell you is I love this team. I love everything about this organization. And this is where I want to be. This is where I want to keep coaching and leading.
O'Connell needs a new contract in Minnesota, which is apparently why teams thought that maybe they could pry him out of town. Defensive coordinators paid the price yesterday in Cincinnati and Indy. Lou Anarumo, Gus Bradley let go the day after disappointing seasons ended. Far from all of that, Lions offensive coordinator Ben Johnson expected to do virtual interviews with the Bears and Patriots later this week. Since Detroit has the bye, he can do those starting tomorrow and then running through Monday.
I love the charade like the Patriots aren't hiring Mike Vrabel. I mean, everyone's carrying some major water here for the Pats. So it's like, well, you know, it's not a done deal, and they really want to hear about Ben Johnson. It's like, can we just fast forward to the end of this where Vrabel's getting announced? Oh, is that Gelb, our Patriots fan? He knows it's true.
You're telling me if Ben Johnson was interested, they would not at least think about that because they do have Drake May.
They'd be smart to think about it.
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of people, I don't think he would take that job. I think that would be less interesting to him, but you're going to bring in Mike. I said yesterday, you're going to bring in Mike Vrabel and cut the knees out of the superstar quarterback. Like, Mike Vrabel is going to win a lot of games 19-13. I get it, but it's like, you got this. I love Drake May. I do not want to see a defensive coach there.
I don't know. I'm not that worried about it because what's the worst thing he's going to say? We need to bring in a running game? That's the best idea they would ever have. That helps. Look at how a run game can help even a guy like Justin Herbert. It's not a bad thing. If you have a great quarterback, a good run game helps. My team, the Buffalo Bills, thank goodness they can finally run the ball and people are excited about them. And Josh Allen's going to win the MVP because they can run the ball now and he can be more efficient. He doesn't have the turnovers. It helps. It's not all bad.
But Pearl's point, though, I feel like there's something to Mike Vrabel that needs to be kind of thought about in that how you don't got to coach that much when you got Derrick Henry in his prime, right? It makes everything a lot easier. You could be a lot more conservative. You don't have to go for it quite as much. You can milk clock. Like, I think the degree of difficulty in terms of how to win when you have a 2,000-yard kind of back is way different than when you have a quarterback and you're trying to find a running back or find some kind of way to kind of compliment him. It's a totally different calculus.
The quarterback's the hardest part to figure out. The running back part, I'm not saying...
No, I mean the win. I mean, we saw... they had freaking Joe Burrow, and they won 9 games this year. He had one of the best years ever for a quarterback. I'm saying in terms of wins and losses and actually getting yourself further, I feel like having someone like Derrick Henry with that defense just takes a lot of coaching decisions out of your hands. So now when you're talking about building a team around a quarterback in terms of we're going to be a pass-first team or we're going to try to find a way to spice up this offense, I agree. I don't think I'd want Vrabel. I'd want someone who's a little more aggressive.
But didn't we, like, the whole time Vrabel was there was, like, the problem for Tennessee is Ryan Tannehill? Like,
who they paid, by the way.
Right, like, the problem was they had Derrick Henry, but they didn't have a quarterback to make them that much better.
Tannehill was good. He was good at certain points.
But there was never a time where the league was universally settled on, like, Tannehill being the right guy for that position. For that team.
Well, I think people said
he was always replaceable.
And remember that awful game he had when they were the number one seed? They hosted the Bengals, and he was terrible in that game.
Yeah, that was a Mike Vrabel game. I mean, that was like every Titans game.
But here's the thing. The Patriots' defense wasn't even as good this year. And that was where the Belichick didn't leave the cupboard totally crazy bare, you know?
I think Vrabel should go to a team that's ready to win and just sort of toughen them up, not a complete rebuild like the Patriots, because he's just going to build them in the image of the Titans, and I don't want that.
Yeah, I don't know. I also think that if you fire Jerod Mayo after 1 year, giving him nothing, and you don't bring in Mike Vrabel, then that makes firing Mayo look worse. Like, I can talk my way into, okay, fine, for whatever reason, you couldn't hire Vrabel a year ago. Now he's there. You want to bring him back to the organization, okay. But you go complete outsider blowing Mayo out of the water after 1 year?
Complete outsider. I mean, every Belichick assistant that goes anywhere sucks. Yeah. Like, to me, and I know Jerod Mayo's whole thing was that I'm going to try to not be Belichick, and somehow he was worse. So to me, I would actually applaud if they decided, hey, you know what? The Patriots way is dead. And now we need to find something brand new. And Ben Johnson, the best play caller in the NFL, wants to be, I don't know why the hell he'd want to coach there, but if he wants to coach the Patriots, I'd say, okay, what happened to Jerod Mayo was ridiculous, but at least, you know, you have a young coach who is looked at as one of the top young guys in the NFL.
It'd be Drake May in cap space is the reason why you take it.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So I wouldn't, if I was him, that'd be probably bottom on my list.
Patriots. I agree. I don't think the Patriots
have no talent. Their ownership is obviously
meddling
in a weird place right now. It's cold. Yeah,
coaches in the NFC North. He knows about cold.
I mean, inside. He's played one outdoor game this year, though.
Yeah. No, I mean, honestly, like, I think it's easier to have good offense at some other places. This, I think, for Ben Johnson, it's done quite. I guess Drake May might be interesting to him. I do like that Ben Johnson and the Jets were like, all right, we're not even going to pretend this is going to happen.
Rex Ryan a little more our speed.
No, Ben Johnson, I'm sure he said to the Jets, he's like, thanks, I don't need to interview here.
It's like when you go to someone asks you, you want to ask the prettiest girl out to the dance, she's like, I'm good.
And ask her friend.
Yeah, no, I don't think that's going
to
work.
Bogues, thanks so much for that. Appreciate it. Coming up, lots more to do on the NFL coaching cycle, and we get into Brock Purdy. Don't move.
What the f*** is Aaron Rodgers up to today?
This portion of the show is brought to you by Ethos Life, the easy way to get life insurance in 10 minutes, up to $2 million in coverage with no medical exam, just a few health questions. Get your free quote at checkethos.com. Not available in all states. Oh, so what is Aaron Rodgers up to today? He's been quiet. He was quiet yesterday. I don't think I heard from him.
I think he's on his way probably back to California. Said he's going to clear his head. But this WTF Aaron Rodgers is not actually about Rodgers. It's about Rex Ryan, who's interviewing with the Jets today in Florida. Here's Rex Ryan on, I think, ESPN radio saying how he would hold Rodgers accountable.
When you have a guy that doesn't show up for mandatory minicamp, and by the way, he's your quarterback coming off an injury, I think that's an absolutely ridiculous message you sent to the team. And so, you know, obviously, if he comes back, things would be different. I don't. If he's back, it ain't going to be the country club. You know, show up whenever the hell you want to show up. That ain't going to happen. So I'll just leave it at that.
There you go. ESPN New York man Rex is so good at this. The country club. I mean, the thing about the Rodgers, let's go take this piecemeal. The thing about the Rodgers being away for minicamp was it wasn't excused. Like, they all knew that he was leaving to go to Egypt. They said it wasn't excused because it was a vacation, but they were all cool with it. He said he showed up to every other thing to try to compensate for it. I don't know. That to me was mishandled by the Jets as opposed to Rodgers really being in the wrong.
That was
they
weird.
Made that a bigger story than it ever needed to be. Like, protect your player at that point. Protect everybody. Just say, he's not here, it's excused. Move on with your lives. Instead, it became this massive story. But Rex is... he played this perfectly. Because the Jets fan base wants Aaron Rodgers gone immediately. Him coming back is so distasteful. So to Rex be like, oh, this is the country club, man. He knows how to play Jets fans like a fiddle.
Yeah. I mean, it is also a reminder, like, Rodgers really, really has to get out of here. Like, he's got to go to another team because, like, just, he has no chance for success here in New York. Like, he'll hit in his next team. I'm positive about it, unless he really has to go to a bad place. So, like, this is just a reminder. I hope Rodgers saw that and be like, you know, if Rex gets a job, then it's easy. Like, just get – he's got to say, Woody, I appreciate it. Just please cut me.
No, there's no world where Rex Ryan and Aaron Rodgers exist in the same plane. Here's more from Rex. He said he's convinced he's going to get the Jets job.
And the reason I think I'm going to get it is because I'm the best guy. And it ain't close. The thing that you have to do, you have to connect with your football team. You have to connect with your fan base. And the way they play, that's the most important thing. Not just the X's and O's and all that. Look, this Ben Johnson, I love him. I absolutely love him. But I'm a better candidate for this job than he would be.
I don't think so.
Well, yeah, Ben Johnson's not going there. But I understand, like, that's a smart line by Rex, too. Yeah, I mean, if Rex goes there, they're like, what, like 2-15, right? Like, this is not going to be, like, is this Arch talk?
I mean, Peyton Manning already said no thanks to the Jets long ago. I don't know if...
like, what is Rex like?
If the Manning family is not sending Arch to the Jets. Sorry, EJ.
Well, maybe I'm like, what's the upside of Rex because he has no quarterback? I guess he won with Sanchez.
That's the thing, is that he won without a quarterback. So that's the upside. It's like, well, we know one guy can win with a subpar quarterback. Maybe he could do it again.
Does he have the offensive line that ground and pound had?
Absolutely not.
Like, literally, like, who's his quarterback?
We have no idea.
Yeah, we literally
like,
have
what's
no
even
idea.
An option? They're not. They can't. They're not in position to draft one.
I really think Tyrod Taylor might be the starter next year. I don't.
Well, if Rex is there, he probably will be.
Yeah, and he's already played for Rex. Like, I really think that there's a scenario where Tyrod Taylor. There were fans who were calling for Tyrod Taylor this year.
So who's his backup? Because Tyrod Taylor's not making it through a full season. He's 36 years old.
It's gonna be some like journeyman guy. I am anticipating something very, very non-sexy for the quarterback position for the Jets.
Can I interest you in Drew Lock?
I mean, the irony that they need Sam Darnold now more than ever is just...
Or Geno.
And ironically, you know, there's probably going to be three... they're interviewing two Vikings assistants, and I think maybe Wes Phillips maybe start getting interviews too. Like, there's going to be three Viking guys who have been around Sam out there. They're already interviewing Flores.
No,
they're already interviewing. They're already interviewing Josh McCown. So...
by the way, so the same thing with Rex that I would say about Brian Flores. These guys, great defensive coaches, give Rex his flowers about the defense. You can't take that away from him. He is a really good defensive coach. Wanted nothing to do with the offense when he was there. Didn't develop a quarterback. Brian Flores, I mean, Tua aired him out before the season started. And I think Brian Flores was not good for a young quarterback. He changed offensive coordinators every single year, could not find continuity there. And the same thing, Rex didn't develop Mark Sanchez. They just kept handing the ball off.
That's why Mark Sanchez got worse during his time in New York. I do think, though, I think being around Kevin O'Connell is going to mean a lot for Flores, potentially. Because I think he already talked about how he learned a lot after Tua aired him out. And he watched a guy who was broken go to Minnesota and watch Kevin O'Connell and that offensive staff pump him up, turn him into a reasonably good NFL quarterback. I think Brian Flores learned something from that.
You get a lot of 1 p.m. games. That's convenient for your lifestyle.
Awesome.
Yeah, they hire one of those guys. Speak for America. You are, America does not. 15 1 p.m. games.
Yeah, America doesn't want any more prime time, no more 4 p.m. Trust me, we all agree with you. Bring the Jets to 1 p.m.
Don't be a freaking weirdo.
Tyrod Taylor starting? Oh, my God.
Coming up, Brock Purdy speaks about his contract or lack thereof. We'll get to it next.